الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to begin this evening, as we return to our regular session for fiqh al-hadith, or the fiqh or understanding the rulings, regulations, guidelines that are found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'd like to take the next few weeks to concentrate on an aspect of the science of hadith, which we have discussed on many occasions in our study of Tayseer al-Allam, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, but we have only passed over it as occasion requires. It is the mention of the sciences of hadith, particularly al-mustalah, or the technical terminology and classifications of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For the next few weeks, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, on this night, we would like to discuss some aspects of the sciences, or the science of hadith, or that aspect of the science of hadith known as mustalah al-hadith. Before beginning the study of this science or this knowledge, the ilm al-hadith, I would like to make some introductory remarks to try to put into perspective something related to exactly what is ilm al-hadith or ulum al-hadith, and what specifically is al-mustalah. First, we should know, or we should be reminded of the importance of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and its importance is directly related to the status or the importance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, that which makes us to know the great importance of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his role and our obligation towards him and our relationship with him, in the saying of Allah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ, that definitely there is for you an excellent example or model in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ Hasana, a good and excellent example to follow, or a model for our conduct and behavior. Also, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ وَأَنْزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرِ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that we have revealed or sent down to you. This is addressed directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have sent down to you as dhikr, the Quran, the remembrance, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, so that you, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, will make clear for the people that which has been revealed to them, or that which has been sent down to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. It is hoped that they will reflect. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his role, just a minute, take those papers, all of them, the others too. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this ayah, his role is made clear, that number one, the Quran has been revealed to him, and number two, it is his responsibility to make the Quran clear, to clarify, to give the bayan, clarification of that which has been revealed to the people. And this clarification is contained in his sunnah. The clarification of the Quran is contained in the sunnah, in the words as well as the actions and approval of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us to know, and that ayah is in Surah Al-Nahl, chapter 16:44. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us to know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his status is such that whoever wants to earn the love of Allah and forgiveness of their sins, they have to follow him. Yani, earning the love of Allah and forgiveness of one's sins is achieved through al-ittiba'a, following, strictly following the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 31, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Allah says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قُلْ, say to them, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرْ رَحِيمٌ. And if you follow me, then Allah will love you and Allah will forgive you your sins, and Allah is forgiving, merciful. And also another verse, and the verses in the Quran are many, showing the importance of the sunnah and the need for the sunnah and the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur, chapter 24, verse 63, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. فَلْيَحْذَرُ, then you must be warned and be cautioned. الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ, whoever opposes his affair, his matter, his way, his command, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever contradicts him, opposes him, goes against that what he has instructed us or the example that he has given us, then they should be warned. And تُصِيبَهُمْ fitna, that fitna may overcome them, a trial, a temptation. وَيُصِيبُهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, yani that they would be afflicted in this world and also they would have a terrible punishment in the next. The fitna is in this world and the عذاب أليم is in the next life. These are a few of the ayats which make us to know the importance of the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and likewise, yani it follows that it shows us the importance of the sunnah or the hadith, and the study of hadith and the knowledge of hadith. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Najm, chapter 53, verse 3 and 4, concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his guidance and instructions which he has given to us, which has been preserved, it has been transmitted, and it has been passed on to us in the books, in the literature of hadith. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيِ يُوحَى. Some of the scholars said that this verse, that he doesn't speak from his own self. Yani whatever the Prophet ﷺ says, it's not from his own self, from his desires, but it is in fact revelation which is revealed. This is a clear proof, an indication, as many of the scholars of tafsir and the scholars of sunnah said, it is a clear proof that the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that which is contained in the hadith literature, the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is wahi, it is revelation. Yani the revelation is in two divisions, the revelation contained in the Qur'an and the revelation which is the sunnah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he speaks, it's not anything from his own self, it is revelation that is revealed. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he indicated to us in numerous hadith, from amongst them the hadith reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعَدِي فَسَيَرَى اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Then know that whoever lives after me, he shall see great differences amongst the people. Now we saw, even in the earlier days, and especially in the later days, we see the اختلاف, كثير, so much difference of opinion, bickering, arguing, disputing differences amongst the people. And the sunnah, according to this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, it is the criterion and it is the solution to solve the differences. He said, whoever lives after me, you will see much difference. What shall we do? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَاء الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Then it is obligatory on you, it is incumbent, فَعَلَيْكُمْ, it is incumbent upon you to take to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas. Also in the hadith reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, likewise, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ. Isn't it so that I have been given the Qur'an وَمِثْلَهُ, and that which is like it, that which is similar to it, meaning the sunnah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear that he has been given two lights of guidance, Al-Qur'an wa mislahu, and that which is like it, which is the sunnah. And he said in that hadith, ala wa innama harrama Allah, ala wa innama harrama Rasulullah kama harrama Allah. Yani that which has been made forbidden by the Messenger of Allah, it is like that which has been made forbidden by Allah. Yani the prohibition which came to us from the Messenger of Allah, it is just as that which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is proven even by the Quran, the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verse 7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives you, take it. Yani whatever he allows for you, makes lawful for you, take it, it is lawful. And whatever he has prohibited you from, then leave it. Then leave it, it is prohibited. So the making lawful and prohibiting, it is the exclusive right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has appointed his Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also to be the one to deliver those prohibitions and commands, making lawful unlawful, those matters which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. These are a few of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which indicate the importance of the sunnah and our need for the sunnah. And this is the basis of our intention to study that aspect of the science of hadith which helps us to reach the authentic sunnah, to be able to distinguish that which is authentic from that which is unauthentic. Concerning this science of al-mustalah, or the science, the technical classifications of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, its basis or the foundation for it is from the Quran itself and from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have been reminded by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the importance of confirming news or information when it came to us, in order to distinguish that which is true from that which is false. And delivering that which came to us of the Sharia, of the laws of Allah, delivering them, carefully receiving them with care and attention, meticulously, and also delivering that which we have received as it came to us. The saying of Allah in Surah Al-Hujurat, chapter 49, verse 6, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the believers, O you who believe, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ, if someone came to you of questionable character, evil, sinful, wicked person, بِنَبَأٍ, with some information, فتبينوا, then make clear, investigate, check. And in some of the readings, qira'at of the Quran, some of the scholars of qira'at, they said, فتبينوا فتثبتوا, investigate, check, confirm. Don't just take information that comes to you, which is unfortunately the habit of the Muslims today. Anyone says the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they just pass it on. We don't check, we don't investigate. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders in the Quran, if anyone brings you news, especially the fasiq, the person whose character is questionable, who's not known to be of good character, and also not only of good character, but also of the person who is accurate in reporting that which they have heard, we should investigate, ascertain the truth, so that we don't take something that is false and pass it on. But we are required to check. And whenever we pass on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should pass it on accurately as it came to us, but only after confirming and distinguishing that which is true from that which is false. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith reported in the Sunan Abu Dawud, the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and the Muslim of Imam Ahmed, and many other of the reporters or the scholars of hadith reported it. He said, نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً سَمِيَ مَقَالَتِي وَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَّاهَا كَمَا سَمِيَ. نَضَّرَ اللَّهُ إِمْرَأً سَمِيَ مَقَالَتِي. May Allah make bright a person, or make happy a person who heard one of my sayings, who heard something from me, وَوَعَاهَا, and then he carefully preserved it. And he heard it, he gave attention to it, وَوَعَاهَا, he took it in accurately and carefully, فَأَدَّاهَا, then he delivered it to others, كَمَا سَمِعَ, exactly as he heard it. Yani this is an instruction, or it is an information, but it is as in the form of information or dua, but actually it is a command and an instruction from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when we hear his sayings, then we should carefully receive it accurately, and we should deliver it to others accurately, just as we heard it. فَرُبَّ مُبَلَّغْ عَوْعَى مِنْ تَامِ. For perhaps the person who the information reached them, who received it, مُبَلَّغْ, the one who had reached, might be more accurate than the one who originally heard it. And in some of the narrations, it said that perhaps the one who it is delivered to, or the one who carries it, الحامل, might not be a faqih, or a person who understands, as the one who is delivered to, who might understand after the hadith or the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is delivered to them accurately, perhaps the one who is delivered to might understand it, and is a fiqh of it, better than the one who delivered it. In any case, it is our responsibility to hear it properly, accurately, and to deliver it just as we heard it. Also, what makes us to know the importance of the study of hadith, particularly this aspect of the sciences of hadith, is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported in Al-Bukhari, and it is a warning. It is a warning of all of those who are not careful, who carelessly receive the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and who carelessly deliver it to others, without delivering it accurately and without distinguishing between that which is false, or investigating in order to distinguish that which is false from that which is true. The saying of the Prophet reported by Al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, من كذب علي متعمدا, whoever lied on me intentionally, فليتبوى مقعده من النار, then let him know that he is guaranteed a seat in the hellfire. Whoever lies on me intentionally, then let him know he is guaranteed a seat in the hellfire. This makes us to know the seriousness of the obligation to deliver only that which has been authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because whoever passes on to others lies on the Prophet, they also join in. Although in this hadith the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever lies on me intentionally, perhaps some people may say, well, we passed on some hadith not knowing if it was authentic or not, we didn't intentionally lie on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Well, it is reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Muqaddama, in the introduction to his Sahih. In that hadith, it's considered to be hasan, kafa bil mar'i kadiban an yuhaddifa bi kulli ma sami'a. It is sufficient for a person to be considered a liar. It is sufficient for a person to be considered a liar if they pass on everything that they hear. An yuhaddifa bi kulli ma sami'a. Everything you hear, you pass it on? No. That it is sufficient for you to be considered a liar if you, without distinction, pass on whatever you hear. Because some of what you hear may be true, and some of it will not be true. So if you pass on everything you hear, you will be classified as a liar. And especially in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من حدث عني بحديث يرى أنه كذب فهو أحد الكاذبين أو الكاذبين أو كذابين. Here in this hadith, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever reports from me a hadith which he thinks or considers that it might be a lie, then he will be one of the liars. Yani the one who made it up, who fabricated the lie, and the one who passed it on, while not knowing for sure if it is true or false. Whoever narrates from the Prophet ﷺ a hadith which they think, they consider that it may be a lie, it may not be true, then they will become one of the liars, the one who fabricated it and the one who passed it on. Yani if you are not the one who fabricated it, but you pass it on, you become one of those who lie on the Prophet, and whoever lies on the Prophet, then they are sternly warned of a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, one of the great scholars of the Tabi'een, one of the greatest of the scholars of the Tabi'een, the students of Sahaba, and he died in the beginning of the second century of the Hijra in the year 110. It is reported authentically that he said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ دِينٌ فَانْظُرْ عَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. That verily this knowledge, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is deen, it is your deen, it is your deen. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So look and consider and be careful from who you are taking your deen. Some people accept anything they hear from anyone attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without any consideration of who they are taking it from. But even at that early stage, in the beginning of the second century after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they recognized that we have to distinguish who we take our deen from. And it is also reported from Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, that he said, لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَسْأَلُونَ عَنَ الْإِسْنَادِ. That in the beginning, in the first generation of the Muslims, they didn't used to ask about the isnad, about chain of narrators. Yani who reported it, from who, where did you get it from? They weren't asking at that time. Because the people who were reporting those words were the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was no need to ask about them, because they were all truthful. فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتَ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. But when the fitna arose, the conflict and confusion between the Muslims, when this took place, then they said, سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. Name us your men. Yani tell us who you heard it from. When someone is reporting something from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, who did you hear it from? We want to know, who are the narrators of this saying? Who did you get it from? فَيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذْ حَدِيثُهُمْ. Then you should look to the people of Sunnah, and their hadith is taken, it is accepted. وَيَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ فَلَا يُؤْخَذْ حَدِيثُهُمْ. And when you look to the people of innovation, their hadith is not to be taken. And this is also reported from Muhammad ibn Sirin, and the muqaddimah, or the introduction to the sahih of Muslim. And likewise, the saying of Abdul ibn Mubarak, one of the greatest scholars in the second century of the Hijrah, he said, which is also reported by Imam Muslim in the introduction to his sahih, al-isnad min ad-deen. Al-isnad, the chain of narrators, it is part of our deen. It means that accepting hadith, attributing or ascribing something to the Prophet ﷺ without consideration of its source, where it came, how did it reach us, without consideration of it, is a mistake. Because al-isnad min ad-deen. فَلَوْلَا al-isnad لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. And if it wasn't for the isnad, if it wasn't for the chain of narration, then whoever willed would have been able to say whatever they willed. Anyone would have been able to lie on the Prophet ﷺ. There wouldn't be any way to distinguish. But that which protected the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, it is the isnad. This isnad is not something to be taken lightly. It is of utmost importance. If it wasn't for the isnad, then anyone would have been able to lie and say the Prophet ﷺ said, as we see happening today, because we have not given care to isnad, now everyone is saying anything. You can go in the masjids, Even in the khutbah, on the radio, people are saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And it is kadhib, lies on the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, not authentic. In some places, among some people, you will find people making fabricated stories, fantastic narrations of things that were never said by the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. In fact, many of those sayings have been reported by the scholars of hadith and mawdu'at. In the books where they collected the fabrications against the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, these people are taking those sayings and they're reporting them and teaching the Muslims these lies. These lies which help a person to get into the hellfire. Al-Isnad min al-Deen. The Isnad, the chain of narrators, it is part of our deen, and if it wasn't for the Isnad, then whoever will would have been able to say whatever they willed, and no one would have been able to stop them. But Alhamdulillah, because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who preserved the Qur'an, and the Sunnah being the explanation of the Qur'an, He also guaranteed the preservation of the Sunnah. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees the protection and preservation of the Qur'an, it also includes the protection and preservation of the understanding of the Qur'an, which is contained in the Sunnah. These are just introductory remarks. Can somebody take those pages there? Concerning the importance of the Sunnah and the status of the Sunnah and the need for us to enable ourselves, at least in the basics, to enable ourselves to take this one. There are two. Yeah. To enable ourselves to be able to distinguish the authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ from that which is unauthentic. Before going on, I just want to give a general overview of the sciences of hadith so that we will put into perspective this particular aspect or this division of the science of hadith. The sciences of hadith or ilm al-hadith has been divided into divisions. Some of the scholars divided them into two divisions. Ad-diraya and ar-riwaya. Ad-diraya and ar-riwaya. Ad-diraya, it is that which, it is consisting of two parts which we have mentioned here in the general overview of the science of hadith, al-mutun and ash-shuruh. Al-mutun, it is the plural of matin, it means the text of a hadith. And ash-shuruh is the plural of sharh, it means the explanations of the hadith. These two aspects of the ulum al-hadith are coming under the title of ad-diraya. Diraya, D-I-R-A-A-Y-A-H, ad-diraya. Ad-diraya includes the texts, the books which contain collections of the texts, the sayings and actions and approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as ash-shuruh, or the explanations of those texts of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the fiqh or the fahm, the understanding of the text. From amongst the mutun or the texts of hadith, we may look at, for example, to start with, such books as al-arba'in al-nawawiyyah, the 40 hadith of Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah, which is a very small, elementary, yani simple text of hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, various aspects of Islam, encouraging the Muslims in a number of different fields. Likewise, beyond that, we might look at such books as Umdat al-Ahkam, which we have been studying for the past year or two, Umdat al-Ahkam. And we have been studying its explanation, Taysir al-Alam, the Sharh of Umdat al-Ahkam. Umdat al-Ahkam also is a primary book of texts, sayings of the Prophet ﷺ, and actions and approvals. But Umdat al-Ahkam is a book which contains the hadith only from al-Bukhari and Muslim, and those hadith which relate to rulings or judgments or laws in Islam, Ahkam. So it is also a primary book that Muslims should look at in order to learn something about the Sunnah. Likewise, one of the important fundamental books which contain hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is widespread and well known, is the famous book of Al-Imam An-Nawawi, Riyad As-Salihin. It is also a summary, a small collection, but more comprehensive than the 40 hadith, and it contains various aspects of the Sunnah, including not only rulings and guidelines and salat and tahara and things like this, but also matters related to the next life and encouraging Muslims to acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, we might look at other books such as Al-Lu'lu wal-Marjan, the collection of hadith which have been agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And these books which I mentioned, 40 hadith and Riyad al-Salihin, other than Umdat al-Ahkam and also Lu'lu al-Marjan, are translated into English, which we have access to. Lu'lu al-Marjan, it is those hadith which both Al-Bukhari and Muslim have reported in their Sahih. Al-Bukhari reported and Muslim reported. They are agreed, those hadith which are referred to as Muttafaqun alayh, agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. There is a collection of hadith, Al-Lu'lu al-Marjan, which is all of those hadith which are agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And after that we can look at Bukhari itself and Muslim, Jami al-Usul, Muwatta Imam Malik, and many other books which contain the reports or the narrations of the texts of the Sunnah as they are preserved by the scholars of hadith. Likewise, these books, the texts which we look at, memorize and reflect upon, need to be compiled, or I mean they should be joined to or studied with the books of shuruh, the books of explanation, which give us the understanding of those books. And there are a number of books giving the explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, some of them small and some of them extensive. And from the most extensive of them is a book that was recently compiled and translated into English in America by one of the brothers there, Jamal Zarabozo, in three large comprehensive volumes, explanation of 40 hadith. And there are also some summarized, very, very small translations of explanation of 40 hadith. Also, some of the books of Ahkam, such as Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, and its explanation, Subul al-Salam by Imam al-Sana'ani, the Sharh Umdat al-Ahkam, which we are studying, Taysir al-Alam, as well as other scholars who gave explanation of it, and the explanation of the larger books such as Fath al-Bari, the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, the Sharh of Imam Nawawi of Sahih Muslim, and Al-Tamheed, the explanation of the Muwatta of Imam Malik, Al-Tamheed by the great scholar Ibn Abdul Barr. These two aspects, the text of hadith and the explanations of hadith, these come under the first division of the knowledge or the science of hadith, Ad-Diraya. Ad-Diraya. Ad-Diraya includes the text of hadith as well as the explanation. The other aspect of Ilm al-Hadith, which is the aspect that we want to look at in the study in these next few classes, it is Ar-Riwaya. Ar-Riwaya includes that which is mentioned in C and D under point number 2, Al-Mustalah, the technical terminology or classifications of hadith, and as well as Al-Takhrij and Ilm al-Rijal. Al-Takhrij means the extraction and identification of the sources of hadith. Yani being able to detect where hadith comes from. Is it from Bukhari, from Muslim, from Abu Dawood, from At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Muwatta, where is it from? From the Muslim Imam Ahmed, where did the hadith come? Identifying its sources, this is what is referred to in D, At-Takhrij. And along with it, also on the Takhrij, is those sources of the biographies of the narrators of hadith, which is known as Ilm al-Rijal. It is the identification and critical classification of the narrators of hadith, or the Rijal. This Takhrij, the sources of hadith, identifying where the hadith came from, and al-Rijal, the narrators, the biographies of the narrators of hadith, we also will not deal with in our study in the next few weeks, but I am only mentioning it here to put things in perspective. These are some of the sciences of hadith that are a part of the total ulum al-hadith. The part that we want to deal with is C, al-mustalah, or technical classifications of hadith. The technical classifications of hadith inform us of those hadith which are authentic or unauthentic, those hadith which have complete chains or broken chains, those which are attributed to the Prophet or attributed to Sahaba or attributed to Tabi'in and so on. Classifying the hadith into different classifications, this is what is studied under the division of Ulum al-Hadith known as Al-Mustalah. And this is what we want to talk about in detail, Al-Mustalah. This is what we want to talk about in detail tonight and in the next few weeks. Before going on to the preliminary definitions in C, I just want to mention to you that there's a list which you have important English references for the sciences of hadith. And I've listed here 11 books which are available in English. And the books dealing with ulum al-hadith are many in Arabic, hundreds, thousands of books. But in English, alhamdulillah, there are a few only, but some good books. And some of the books that are available in English, which are accessible, which are in the market, which are possible for someone to get a hold of. I've listed some of them here. The first of them is An Introduction to the Science of Hadith by Dr. Suhaib Hassan, which was published by Al-Quran Society originally, and the following year was published by Dar es Salaam Publishers. It's available from Dar es Salaam in Riyadh. It's a small book, and that's the book that we are going to be reading from and studying, An Introduction to the Science of Hadith by Dr. Suhaib Hassan. Also, among those books which I have listed here, is Criticism of Hadith Among Muslims, which with reference to the Sunan of Ibn Majah. This book, it is also by Dr. Suhaib Hassan, and it was his master's degree thesis. It's 254 pages. It's a comprehensive, technical, very, very important and valuable work. If anyone can read this book, it is of extreme importance for those who are interested in knowing something about the science of hadith. The third book that we mentioned here is Studies in Hadith, Methodology and Literature by Dr. Muhammad Mustafa Al-Azami, which was published in America by American Trust Publications. It's 122 pages, and it's also a very, very important and extremely valuable book explaining something about hadith studies and hadith literature. It has a section dealing with Mustalah Hadith, and it also has a section dealing with some of the important books of hadith that a Muslim needs to know about. Also, another book which we listed here is Studies in Early Hadith Literature, also by Dr. Muhammad Mustafa Al-Azami, which is a very, very large book. It was his master's degree thesis, and it contains detailed discussions of some of the early hadith literature, yani in the first generations, in the first and a half centuries after the Hijrah. Also, another book by Dr. Muhammad Mustafa Al-Azami, Sketches Origins of Muhammadan Jurisprudence, in which he deals with a number of things dealing with fiqh, and amongst them he deals with the sunnah and some of the false claims that were made by this orientalist sketch. He refutes him in a very, very yani scholarly manner. Also, another small book, which is only 53 pages, it's one of the most early, or one of the earlier books that were published in English concerning hadith. It is Al-Hadith Introduction and Sample Text by Dr. Muhammad Abdul Rauf, who was the director of the Islamic Center in Washington, a scholar from Egypt, from Azhar University, who lived in America for a long time. And this book was written in 1974. It was one of the first books dealing with yani some matters related to the science of hadith, although it's very simple and brief, but it's also useful if someone can get a hold of it. Also, The Place of Hadith in Islam, which basically was a conference about on that topic, The Place of Hadith in Islam. It was a number of lectures delivered at that conference in 1975 in America, Muslim Student Association, and it has a number of yani transcripts from the lectures given at that conference, and from amongst them are two lectures by Muhammad Mustafa Al-Azami, which also is very, very important and useful. And I don't know, also we have here Hadith Literature, Its Origin, Development and Special Features by Muhammad Zubair Siddiqui, which was published by the Islamic Tech Society in Cambridge, which is an Orientalist organization as far as I know. In any case, it's a very scholarly work. It's 174 pages, and it's available. It's published in England. Also, some of the books which I didn't, which I also mentioned here, which are also useful, and we should try to find them if possible. It is, some of them are available. One of them is Mountains of Knowledge, Inheritors of the Prophet, of the Prophets. That book was published in England by Salafi Publications. It's 270 pages. Part of the book deals with the Aqidah of some of the early scholars of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the second half of the book deals with biographies of some of the greatest scholars of Hadith in the early generations of the Muslims. And these biographies are not available probably in English anywhere else. Another small book, which is only 20 pages but very, very valuable, and perhaps we'll copy it and give it out, it is Checking of the Ahadith in the Lawful and Prohibited Islam, Al-Halal wal-Haram fil Islam by Dr. Yusuf Qaradawi. The checking of those hadith which he mentions in his book, which are either da'if, weak, or mawdu'a, fabricated hadith. And those, that checking comes from Ghayat al-Maram, a book written by Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, rahimahullah, in which he clarified and classified the hadith mentioned by Dr. Yusuf Qaradawi in his book, Al-Halal wal-Haram fil Islam. That book, Al-Halal wal-Haram fil Islam, is available in English and widespread in the English-speaking world. It contains many weak and fabricated hadith, and we should be warned from that. And for that reason, this small pamphlet, which is only 20 pages, is valuable, because he lists those hadith which Sheikh al-Albani clarified their weakness or their fabrication. In the last hadith is Common Misconceptions Regarding Some Quranic Verses and Prophetic Hadith, which was published a year ago by International Islamic Publishing House. It's a small book, 94 pages, and it mentions some ayats from the Quran which people misunderstood, and mentions some hadith of the Prophet ﷺ which are commonly mentioned or reported by the Muslims which are unauthentic. So these are some books which relate directly or indirectly to the science of hadith. Whoever can get a hold of them, inshallah, it's valuable, and they should do so. This is related to the books. Yani, I encourage everyone to try to get a hold of these books and try to benefit from them. The last thing that we want to talk about this evening, it is point number three, preliminary definitions. And these preliminary definitions are really important in order for a person to understand Mustalah Hadith. These are our basic points, but they are yani, a necessity. They are of utmost importance that we understand them. We will primarily deal with the book of Sheikh Suhaib Hassan, but for some of the technical matter, we may also refer to some Arabic texts, such as Taysir, Mustalah Hadith by Dr. Mahmoud Tahan, or the book of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Min Atyab al-Manh fi Ilm al-Mustalah, which was the text used for the high school studies at the Islamic University in Medina. Both of these books are useful references for those who may have access to Arabic, because both of them are simple, abridged, summarized versions, though covering most of the topics in Mustalah Hadith. So the primary or the preliminary definitions that we need to look at are, first of all, Ilm al-Mustalah. Ilm al-Mustalah, it is the knowledge of the principles and rules by which the condition or state of the isnad, chain of narrators, and the metin, text, may be known in reference to its acceptance or rejection. Yani, the usul, the fundamental principles, and the qawaid, the rules, fundamental rules or foundations, through which, through these principles and rules, a person may come to know what is the condition of the chain of narrators or the text of a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning whether or not it is acceptable or unacceptable. Is it authentic or unauthentic? These rules or principles that enable us to know whether or not a chain of narrators is a good chain, or whether or not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is acceptable or unacceptable, this knowledge of these principles is what is known as ilm al-mustalah. Yani mustalah hadith, it means the principles or rules that a person uses in order to determine whether or not a chain of narrators is acceptable or not, whether or not a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is authentic or unauthentic. These are the rules or the principles that we want to look at in our study for the next few weeks. The knowledge of these rules and principles. What is the subject of Mustalah Hadith? The subject of Mustalah Hadith is the chain of narrators or the metin, the text, knowing whether or not it is acceptable or unacceptable. Yani the sanad, the chain of narrators or the metin, the text, as regards its acceptance or rejection. This is the subject matter of Mustalah Hadith. And what is its benefit? The scholars said the benefit of Mustalah Hadith is tamyiz as-sahih min as-saqim min al-ahadith. Yani it enables one to distinguish between the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which are authentic and those which are weak. The benefit of Mustalah Hadith is that it enables you to distinguish the authentic from the unauthentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What could be more important? What could be more important than one's ability to distinguish what is authentically reported from the Prophet from that which is unauthentic, doubtful, or questionable? The first important definition is al-hadith. There are three terminologies that are given here: al-hadith, al-khabr, and al-athar. These three words are similar in meaning, so you should pay careful attention to something new. The technical meaning of hadith, it means that which is attributed or ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ of his words, actions, or approvals. The sayings, the actions, or that which the Prophet ﷺ came to know about and he approved of. All of this is included under the technical meaning of al-hadith. And the hadith are the reports of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, whether his words, his actions, or his tacit approvals. The next word is al-khabr. Al-khabr, it means linguistically an-naba. It means news or information. Istilahan, or in techo terminology, there are three sayings or three opinions of the scholars concerning al-khabr. Some of them said al-khabr, it means the same as al-hadith. If you say al-khabr, you mean the same as hadith. Some scholars said al-khabr is not the same as hadith, but it means something which is reported from other than the Prophet. Yani, not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but reported from other than him, they call it khabr. And they say hadith means the saying of the Prophet, khabr means other than the saying of the Prophet. The third opinion is that it's general, including that which is reported from the Prophet or others. Yani, the third opinion of the scholars is that khabr, it means that which is reported from the Prophet ﷺ as well as that which is reported from other than the Prophet. So there are three opinions concerning the technical definition of khabar. Some of the scholars used it to mean the same as hadith. And some of them said it means a distinction from hadith. Hadith is what is heard from the Prophet, and khabar is what is heard from anyone other than the Prophet. And the third opinion is that khabar is all-inclusive. It includes what is heard from the Prophet ﷺ as well as others. The third word of these three which are similar is al-athar. Al-athar, it means baqiyat al-shay. Linguistically, it means baqiyat al-shay. Yani that which remains, the remnant, that which is left from something, what is left behind. Al-athar means something left behind, the remnants of something. Technically, there are two opinions of the scholars concerning al-athar. One of them, it means the same as hadith. Yani al-hadith and al-athar, it means the same. The other opinion is that al-athar, it's not the same as hadith, but it means the sayings and actions of the sahaba or the tabi'een. Yani if you want to refer to the sayings of a companion, you say the athar of Abdul ibn Umar, for example. The athar of Abu Hurairah. Athar refers to the sayings or actions of sahaba or tabi'een, while hadith refers to the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to the second opinion. Yani some of the scholars said athar, it means the same as hadith, and some said no, it means the sayings or actions of sahaba and tabi'in. So if you look at these three words, you will see that one of the opinions is that al-hadith and al-khabr and al-athar all mean the same. Another opinion is that hadith only refers to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while khabar refers to other than the Prophet, and athar also refers to other than the Prophet, yani sahaba or tabi'in. And a third opinion is ascribed to khabar, meaning that it's general, including everything. Yani what is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, as well as that which is attributed to other than the Prophet. I know that probably hearing this for the first time, it may be yani a little confusing, but read the definitions carefully and you will see that there are two definitions for each of these words. Or for the second two. That it means different than hadith or it means the same as hadith. Yani khabar means the same as hadith or it means something different than hadith. And same thing with athar, it means the same as hadith according to one opinion, and another opinion means something different than hadith, other than the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then there's a third opinion for khabar, it means that it's all inclusive, including the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as the sayings of other than him. The next definition is al-isnad. Al-isnad, it has two meanings. One of them is attributing or ascribing the hadith to the one who said it by way of a chain of narrators. Yani when you, the word al-isnad, it means to attribute by using a chain of narrators. Narrating a saying that it was heard from, for example, it was heard by al-Imam Malik, from Nafi'i, from Abdullah ibn Umar, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he said such and such and so and so. When you attribute a saying to the Prophet ﷺ with its isnad, this in Arabic is called al-isnad, attributing it to the one who said it while mentioning the chain of those who reported it. This is one meaning of al-isnad. The second meaning of isnad is the actual chain of narrators. The actual chain of narrators which extends back to the text is called al-isnad. If we look at the people who reported the hadith, that is al-Imam Malik, from Nafi'i, from Abdullah ibn Umar, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all the people in that chain of narratives, that chain of narratives is called al-isnad. It's called al-isnad. This is one meaning of the word isnad. The first meaning though is the actual attribution or ascribing a saying to the one who said it with the mention of the chain of narratives. This is called isnad. And the chain of narratives itself is also called isnad. And here we said that this second meaning of isnad, referring to the chain of narrators or reporters, it is also referred to by a second word, as-sanad. As-sanad and al-isnad have the same meaning. The second meaning of isnad is the same as the meaning of as-sanad. It means the actual chain of narrators which extends back to the text. Yani, the people who reported any saying or action of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the listing of those names of the people is called the sanad, and it's also called the isnad. We use these words often in our lectures, especially in the lectures of fiqh al-hadith, and for this reason it's important to know what do we mean by isnad? What do we mean by sanad? It means the chain of narrators. And the second part of a hadith after the sanad or isnad is the actual words that is reported in the book by a chain of narrators, by a chain of reporters. The words themselves. For example, if we have a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, innama al-a'malu binniyat. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, innama al-a'mal binniyat. That actions are judged by intentions. These words, innama al-a'malu binniyat, is called the matn, the text, or the reported words. The matn is one part of a hadith. The other part are the people who reported it, the chain of narrators. So a hadith has two parts. It has a chain of the people who passed it down, that's called sanad or isnad, and then the words that they reported, that's called the matn. We said linguistically matn means something solid, which is raised up from the earth. This is the linguistic meaning. But the technical meaning which we are concerned with is the actual speech or words which the chain of narrators ends with. Yani when you get to the end of the chain of narrators, there are some words. Those words are called the matn. The chain of narrators is the sanad, and that which they reported at the end of the chain is called the matn, the actual speech or words. The next definition is al-musnad. And you should make a distinction between this word and the word following it. Al-musnad is spelt with A, M-U-S-N-A-D. And the following word is al-musnid with I, M-U-S-N-I-D. These two words have a similar meaning, but they are different. One letter is changed. If you see them written in Arabic, they are written exactly the same, but the voweling is different. Musnad and musnid. One with fatha and the other with kasra. Al-musnad linguistically. In the language, linguistically, it means that which has been attributed to someone. And al-musnad is that which has been ascribed or attributed to someone. The speech which is attributed to someone, or the action which is attributed to someone, is called al-musnad. Whereas the one who narrates it with the chain of narrators is called the musnid. Musnid is the one who reports it with a chain of narrators. He's called musnid. The thing that he reports is called the musnid. So musnid means that which has been attributed to someone. Technically, there are three meanings for musnid. The first two are the most important. A, musnid, it means every book whose narrations are separately arranged according to the sahabi who reported it. And if there's a book which contains many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but those hadith are classified into chapters. Every chapter contains the name of a sahabi. And under his chapter are all the hadith he reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, there will be a chapter, the chapter of Abu Hurairah. In that chapter, all hadith from Abu Hurairah are reported. Next chapter, Abdullah ibn Umar. All the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar are reported. Next chapter, Aisha radiallahu anha. All the hadith which she heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are reported. In other words, the book is classified or categorized into what? Into chapters. All hadith for each sahabi is separate from hadith of another sahabi. This is a book which is called Musnad. Every book who is classified like this, which is arranged separately according to the sahabi who reported, is called a musnad. The most famous musnad is the musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. In his book, there are about 40,000 hadith. And he collected all of those hadith under chapter headings according to the sahabi who heard the hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second definition of musnad is that hadith, the hadith itself, which is traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marfu'un, with an unbroken chain. Yani it should be with. Instead of which, it should be written here, with. Yani the hadith itself, which is traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with an unbroken chain, muttasil, with an unbroken chain, is also called musnad. If there is a hadith that has a complete unbroken chain, and it is attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not to a sahabi, not to a tabi, but to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith, it has two conditions. It's attributed to the Prophet, so, and it has an unbroken chain, complete chain going to the Prophet. That's called also hadith. It's attributed to the Prophet, musnad. It has to be these two things. Words of the Prophet with an unbroken chain, this is also called musnad. So this word musnad, you see it has two meanings. One, the book which is classified in chapters of all the hadith of each sahabi separate. And two, any hadith which is traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with an unbroken chain is also called a musnad. And number three, musnad also is sometimes, some of the scholars also call the chain of narrators instead of sanad, instead of isnad, sometimes they call it musnad. This is the third word used for the chain of narrators: sanad, isnad, and also musnad. But this third meaning is not so commonly used. The next definition, musnid, with kasra, with I, the one who narrates the hadith with its chain of narrators. If somebody narrates a hadith mentioning all of the people who reported it back to the Prophet ﷺ, that person who mentions such a hadith with the chain of narrators is called al-musnid, the one who attributes the hadith to the Prophet ﷺ with its chain of narrators. The last three definitions or titles or words are referred to the scholars of hadith. The first of them is al-muhaddith. Al-muhaddith. In case it's not written clearly, please try to fill in the words, because the photocopy machine didn't make it very clear. Al-muhaddith. M-U-H-A-D-D-I-T-H. Al-muhaddith is the one who is engaged with the science of hadith. Riwayatan and dirayatan. And we said, what is riwayatan? It deals with the classification of hadith and the narrators, classifications of hadith, yani identifying hadith according to the chain of narrators, according to who it's attributed to, and so on, giving the hadith different names. These classifications, and also dealing with the narrators of hadith and their biographies, is called riwayatan. Dirayatan means the study of the text of the hadith, just the wordings of the hadith and its explanations. The one who engages in both of these sciences, classification of hadith as well as the study of text hadith and its explanations, is called a muhaddith, a person who has a comprehensive knowledge of hadith. both sides of hadith, riwayah and dirayah. Al-Hafiz is a title, some of the scholars said it means the same as Al-Muhaddith. But some scholars said Al-Hafiz is a higher standard, one who is of a higher standard, such that he knows at every level of narrators, or what he knows at every level of narrators is more than what he does not know. This definition should be the one who is of a higher standard, such that what he knows, such that what he knows at every level of narrators is more than what he does not know. This means that at every stage, from Sahaba, Tabi'in, Atba' Tabi'in, and so on, in the chain of narrators, the knowledge that he has of those reporters of hadith at every level is more. Yani mostly he knows about it. There may be few things that he doesn't know, but he knows more of those things than what he does not know. Okay, let us just stop for a minute for the adhan, and then inshallah we'll complete the final definition. Allah, Allah. The last thing that we said, Al-Hafiz, it means a person whose knowledge of the reporters of hadith at every level, whose knowledge is more than his ignorance. And the things that he's ignorant of, or is not aware of, or doesn't know, is little in comparison to that which he knows. And the last title is Al-Hakim. Al-Hakim, he who has knowledge comprehending almost all of the ahadith, whereas only a few might escape him. Yani, this is a person whose knowledge of hadith is so comprehensive that it's rare that there is a hadith that he didn't know about. In any case, these are some terminologies that we may see from time to time. We might hear of Al-Hakim, for example, the collector of the book Al-Mustadrak Al-Hakim, or Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajj Al-Asqalani, the explainer of Sahih Al-Bukhari. So these titles, when we hear them, we shouldn't think that they are mere names, but these are titles which indicate the comprehensiveness of the knowledge of these scholars of hadith. If we say Al-Muhaddith, we mean a person who has a good knowledge of hadith, yani all sides of the science of hadith. And when we say Al-Hafiz, it means that that person has a very, very, very comprehensive knowledge of the narratives of hadith and the narrations of the Prophet ﷺ. And according to some of the scholars, Al-Hakim is even beyond that. In any case, this is what we wanted to cover tonight. And I just want to give you a chance to ask any questions about any of these definitions that are not clear, or anything that we said which may not be clear. Otherwise, you may ask any questions in the coming meeting after looking over these definitions, which we have discussed this evening. If there are any questions or comments or corrections before we go, there's a few moments, inshallah, before the people come for the next class, Arabic class. Sisters, be aware that there's Arabic class. Tafadda, Yaqi. Now, regarding the books now. We will try to get copies. We will try to send for the book. If anybody wants to get it, we can get it from Riyadh. Otherwise, we have some photocopies of the book, which you can take tonight, especially those who are attending, who intend to stick with us for the next few weeks with this course, this summary of Mustalah Hadith. Then you can take a copy of the book of Sheikh Suhaib Hassan, which we will primarily rely upon his book, because it's available in English, so it's easy for you to follow. Otherwise, there are some Arabic texts that I will also use, but for the most part, I will try to read directly from this book, An Introduction to the Science of Hadith by Dr. Suhaib Hassan. Any other question or comment? Inshallah, before we leave, you can take a copy. Any other question or comment? Marfu' means, it is from the word rafa'a, means to raise up. Marfu'an means that hadith which has been raised up or ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ, to the highest level. Yani the last level is to the Prophet ﷺ. So when we say marfu', hadith marfu'an, it means it is a hadith which is ascribed to the Prophet ﷺ. If we say that Abdullah ibn Umar reported marfu'an, then it means he reported from the Prophet ﷺ. If we say mawqufan, it means saying of sahabi. If we say maqtu'an, it means tabi. And all of these terminologies, we will discuss in more detail and explain marfu'an, mawqufan, and all of these things, inshallah, as we go along. Any other question? طيب. Then we'll stop here, and please just try to keep in mind, this study of Mustalah Hadith is technical, and it may be a little difficult for the first time. Technical things are difficult in the beginning. If you want to study computer science, maybe in the beginning it may be a little difficult. If you want to study engineering, in the beginning it may be difficult. But once you get the foundations, it becomes a little easier. This science, and it is indeed a science, which helps us to know and to understand and to distinguish the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ from that which has been ascribed or attributed to him falsely, it is more important than other sciences, and it is essential that we give some concern and care to it. Just be patient with it in the beginning, inshallah, you will get over it. And but it's important that you attend regularly and be on time and try to take notes. I will try to make some notes in writing, but what I am not able to prepare, you will also try to, you know, help out by taking some notes yourself, inshallah, or recording the lecture so that you can review it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.